The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello everyone, this is Brad McDonald. I'll be joining you today for the Trumpet Daily Radio program. If you'd like to contact us, go ahead and email kpcg.fm, kpcg.fm, if you'd like to get into contact with us or send us your thoughts on today's program or any other program. It's been a busy weekend over here in Edstone, or at Edstone, England. It's been a busy weekend at headquarters too. They had the Scots Guards concert last night at headquarters here in the UK. All of our students and the Flurry family have been in France for the weekend. So we're looking forward now to getting back to another work week, another productive work week. Well, if you have a phone, if you turned on the television, if you went to a website, a news website here recently over the past couple of days, you no doubt have heard about the death Friday night of Antonin Scalia, a judge on the United States Supreme Court. Mr. Scalia was at a ranch in Texas over the weekend, and after having a pleasant and uneventful dinner Friday night, he retired to his room, and on Saturday morning he was found dead in his bedroom. It appears Mr. Scalia died of natural causes. Most news reports say he died of a heart attack, but just before I came on air, I noticed a couple of stories suggesting that this U.S. Supreme Court judge was in fact, well, they suggested that he didn't die of natural causes. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see what's confirmed there. This news, though, has caught the entire nation by surprise. It was completely unexpected. And the death of a Supreme Court judge, or even the retirement of a Supreme Court judge, is always significant. It's always an event that really, and justifiably so, it attracts a lot of attention from the public and media alike and journalists. But the death of Justice Scalia is especially significant because of its timing. America, in case you haven't heard, America is in an election year. In November, Americans will be going to the polls to elect the next president of the United States. And as we come up upon that election, replacing Justice Scalia on the U.S. Supreme Court is expected to become one of the major issues, or one of the major talking points in this election. Well, Justice Scalia be replaced with a conservative judge or a liberal judge? That is the question. Will Barack Obama be able to choose a judge that the Republican Senate can support and endorse and approve? These are the questions. I'll just read a little quote here from The New Yorker. This is from Jeffrey Toobin from yesterday. And he's just talking about the significance of this surprise death of this U.S. Supreme Court judge. The loss of Justice Scalia is immensely significant on two levels, he writes. First, Scalia himself ranks among the most influential justices in American history. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But Scalia was a conservative judge, and he was really just one of the more powerful and the more prominent voices for the conservative side in the U.S. Supreme Court, and for the conservative movement in general, especially, let's say, in the judicial realm. Scalia himself ranks among the most influential justices in American history. Second, Scalia was the linchpin of the Supreme Court's five-justice conservative majority. His departure gives President Obama, or a Democratic successor, the opportunity to reshape the ideological balance among the justices. So the death on Friday night of this U.S. Supreme Court judge really has, it really has just caused a massive amount of discussion and theorizing about what could happen now and how will this affect the national election later on this year. How will this affect the Republicans as they try to choose a candidate? How will this affect America's judicial system? How will this affect future Supreme Court rulings? How will this affect the decisions that the United States Supreme Court makes over the next few months? And today I thought we could just discuss the death of Justice Scalia a little bit and just think about some of the possible implications of his death for the United States of America. First, at least for our most Americans are probably aware of how the United States Supreme Court operates and how replacing a judge works. But for our foreign listeners, I thought I could just give you a little background on America's justice system and the role of the Supreme Court. The United States Supreme Court was established as an institution by Article 3. Of the U.S. Constitution. And the Constitution establishes the Supreme Court as the ultimate judicial authority in the United States. The U.S. Supreme Court has ultimate authority over all the federal courts and even over state courts, or at least when there's an issue or a policy that pertains to federal law. And the role of America's Supreme Court is to provide the final, the authoritative interpretation of the U.S. Constitution as it pertains to a specific issue. When a government, when an administration wants to pass new legislation, or when an issue is brought all the way up to the Supreme Court level, the 9, or right now it'll be 8 Supreme Court justices meet and they deliberate, they listen to the arguments, and then they ask the basic question, is this legal according to the U.S. Constitution? That's really the question that lays at the heart of a U.S. judge's role. Is this legal according to the U.S. Constitution? Is this new legislation proposed by Barack Obama? Is this legal, they'll ask, according to the U.S. Constitution? So the Supreme Court it's the ultimate authority when it comes to interpreting America's Constitution and establishing the law of the land. This court has historically been responsible for upholding and establishing the rule of law in America. This institution really is critical. It's integral to America's DNA. It's a vital institution right at the heart of America's political and legal system. Now, there are 9 Supreme Court justices. Well, I guess there are 8 right now following the death of Justice Scalia. But there's supposed to be 9 Supreme Court justices. There's 1 Chief Justice and 8 Associate Justices. The Chief Justice today is John Roberts. And each Supreme Court judge is appointed by the president and then confirmed by the Senate. So each judge is appointed by the president, whoever that might be at the time. I think Barack Obama has appointed 1 or 2 Supreme Court judges. President Clinton has 1. George Bush has a couple. But then every appointee has to be confirmed by the Senate. And it's a lifetime position. Each U.S. justice is in the office until he dies or he chooses to retire. Justice Scalia recently died, and as I understand it, at least 1 or 2 or 3 other judges are in their late 70s, maybe even their early 80s. So it's expected that over the next year or 2 or 3 that the president, whoever that might be after January next year, the president will have to appoint more Supreme Court justices. But the reason there are 9 justices is pretty simple. It prevents a tied decision. It prevents a hung court. There will always be a decision. You can never get a tied court. But now, at least until the president appoints a new judge, and he's approved by the Senate, the U.S. Supreme Court will operate with eight justices. There'll be eight judges to finish off this term, and even going into next sitting, which I believe starts in September. Four of the U.S. justices are liberals: Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan. They're liberal. There are three pretty staunchly conservative justices: John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, and Samuel Alito. And the eighth judge, Anthony Kennedy, is moderately conservative, and more often than not, he will side with the other conservatives among the judges. So the U.S. Supreme Court will continue to go ahead and evaluate the cases that are before it and make decisions. Just one quote here from CNN. This is from yesterday. Just making note of the fact that a number of the issues that the Supreme Court has to decide on over the next few months really are pretty controversial. This is what CNN says. The court has an unusually large number of cases before it in this term on controversial issues: abortion, affirmative action, the contraceptive mandate in the Affordable Care Act, the First Amendment rights of non-union members. So all of these issues will be coming before the Supreme Court. The justices will go ahead and they'll deliberate and they'll make a ruling on each issue. Now, if the ruling is clear, if there's a clear decision, let's say five vote for it and three vote against it, or six vote for it and two vote against it, or six vote against it and two vote for it, then the decision will stand, even though there's only eight justices. But if there's a 4-4 tie, then the issue cannot be decided by the Supreme Court. And in this instance, the Supreme Court will have to make one of two choices. It'll have a choice of two options. One of those options will be to announce that the decision is a tie. Four judges were for it, four judges were against it. And if that's the case, if the court comes and says, well, the decision is a tie, then that means that the existing law or the existing ruling will stand. So if a ruling was made in a federal court or a state court, then that will stand in the event of a 4-4 tie between the Supreme Court justices. The other option that the court has would be to simply state that the case will be deferred or put off till the following year, when there would be a ninth judge who can make whatever decision final. So if that happens, a number of the issues before the U.S. Supreme Court this year could be put off and a decision not be made until next year, 2017. And a number of analysts believe that they're just looking at how many conservatives are on, how many conservatives there are and how many liberal judges there are, and a number of analysts believe that it's inevitable that there will be a slew of 4-4 ties. Without Justice Scalia, there's going to be a number of 4-4 votes. So as you can imagine, this is going to have a huge bearing on these decisions made by the U.S. Supreme Court, and that will obviously have massive consequences for American politics, for America's economy, and certainly the interpretation of America's Constitution. When it comes to the appointing of a U.S. Supreme Court judge, I'm not sure that there has ever been a more critical appointment of a judge by the president. I'm not sure if there's ever been a more critical appointment of a U.S. Supreme Court judge. The Supreme Court, America's Supreme Court, over the next 1 and 2 years is going to have to rule on some of the most controversial and most pivotal issues of our time. America's Affordable Care Act, or at least one stipulation, I think it's the stipulation to provide contraception, that will go before the Supreme Court Barack Obama's Affordable Care Act, immigration, and whether or not illegal immigrants should be sent back to their home country will go before the Supreme Court. The issue of abortion will go before the Supreme Court. Gun control and the Second Amendment will go before the Supreme Court. President Obama's Clean Power legislation, certain parts of it, specific attributes, specific stipulations of that legislation will go before the Supreme Court. All of these are defining issues in America right now, and the court's ruling on each issue will have a major impact on America's politics, American culture, American society, the American economy. These issues will really shape 21st century America. And right now it's going to be hard. Right now it's going to be hard to get a decision on those issues. But Justice Scalia's replacement is going to play a vital role in establishing the rule of law in America. The appointment of a liberal judge will mean the endorsement of more liberal policies and legislations. The appointment of a liberal judge will be a boon for Democrats, for liberals. The appointment of a conservative judge, though, will mean the endorsement of more conservative or more traditional policies and legislations. And that would almost certainly hamper the Democrats as they try to pass legislation. So what's going to happen now is we're going to see liberals and Democrats just scrambling to fill that position. And it's a key position. Just one last quote here before we take a break. This is from CNN from yesterday. All of this ensures that the Supreme Court will be a far more salient issue in the presidential election. And it should be. This seat on the Supreme Court could make all the difference with regard to virtually every constitutional issue and affect all of us, often in the most intimate and important aspects of our lives. So whoever replaces Justice Scalia on the Supreme Court really is going to be playing a key role, and their decisions, their influence, their voice is going to have a major impact on America and America's economy, America's judicial and legislative system, America's politics. And it'll have a huge impact too, just on this conversation now, this national conversation taking place in America about the Constitution itself. There's a growing movement in America right now supporting the Constitution as a living document, as an evolving document. President Barack Obama is probably the most prominent face or the most prominent voice of this movement. But this movement is growing, and this movement believes that the Constitution needs to be interpreted in the context of modern values and morality. It's a living document that needs to evolve. It needs to morph with American culture and with American morality. That's what this movement believes. And this conversation is just an intense national conversation right now in America. And whoever the next justice is, whoever the next judge is, they'll play a key role in that conversation. If they're like Justice Scalia, then they'll be a strong constitutionalist, or they'll be, well, if they're like him, they will be. I'm not sure if the Republicans get to appoint the next U.S. Supreme Court justice, I'm not sure he'll be as staunchly conservative as Justice Scalia was. But if another liberal judge is appointed, then that will be a massive victory for this, for those who are advocating and endorsing the Constitution as a living document. So there's a lot to think about here. There's a lot to talk about, and there certainly is a lot to watch. Okay, we'll go ahead now, and we'll take a break after the little the little ditty that we usually play to promote the Trumpet Daily Radio, we're going to play an audio clip from or of Justice Scalia discussing America's Constitution and really providing a very eloquent argument against this notion that America's Constitution is a living or an evolving document.
From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program.
Today I want to update the American people on our efforts to implement and improve the Affordable Care Act. Already, people who have plans that predate the Affordable Care Act can keep those plans if they haven't changed. That was already in the law. That's what's called a grandfather clause that was included in the law. Today we're going to extend that principle both to people whose plans have changed since the law took effect and to people who bought plans since the law took effect.
This is something we ought to be really, really troubled about, don't you think?
You are exactly right. It is one of the most profoundly troubling aspects of the Obama administration is the degree to which this is a lawless administration. We've never seen a president who picks and chooses the way this president does. It is the antithesis of rule of law. It is rule by arbitrary whim and discretion. And as you know well, that is profoundly dangerous.
I wonder if he has the legal authority to do this, since this is a congressional bill that set this up.
This is entirely lawless. And the fact that nobody is talking about this, the executive executes the laws. As you say, this is another example of Obama rewriting a law unilaterally, and nobody is complaining.
The truth is, we can no longer wait for Congress to do its job. The middle-class families who have been struggling for years are tired of waiting. They need help now. So where Congress won't act, I will.
Understand, President Obama cannot legally do what he proposed to do yesterday, and the media let him get away with claiming. He can't fix part of a law that he doesn't like by fiat. Our president is not a king. He doesn't get to make decrees.
If Congress won't act soon to protect future generations, I will. I will direct my cabinet to come up with executive actions we can take now and in the future to reduce pollution, prepare our communities for the consequences of climate change, and speed the transition to more sustainable sources of energy. Effective immediately, the Department of Homeland Security is taking steps to lift the shadow of deportation from these young people. It is the right thing to do.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. Today we're discussing the death over the weekend of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. The timing of Mr. Scalia's death in an election year is really interesting. From everything I've read, the appointment of a new judge could be an extremely and will be an extremely messy affair in America. Like almost everything in American politics today, the decision about who will replace Justice Scalia, it will be incredibly divisive. There's not a whole lot of class or respect or civility today between politicians and between political parties. But the issue of deciding the next Supreme Court justice will no doubt be another major issue of contention and argumentation between Republicans and Democrats and between different politicians in the United States. I don't know exactly how it's going to unfold, but one thing that does seem clear, even now at the early stages, is that this issue is not going to be decided quickly or easily. The decision is not going to be made quickly or easily. There's going to be a lot of acrimony. There's going to be an enormous divide between Republicans and Democrats. And no doubt the behavior between Republicans and Democrats on this issue, the conduct between the two parties on this issue, is only going to further disenfranchise and infuriate the American public. One thing, or the process going forward, is fairly straightforward, at least in theory. President Obama said on Saturday that he is going to nominate a replacement for Justice Scalia in due course. More than likely, he will nominate that person over the next few weeks. More than likely, that person, the new judge or the new nominee for judge, will be a liberal, or as the media likes to use, a progressive. I don't like applying that term, at least in that context. But they'll more than likely be liberal. They'll more than likely see the Constitution the same way that America's president does, that it's a living, evolving document. And the hope for Barack Obama, obviously, the hope would be that this new nominee would create a 5-4 majority, liberal majority, so that any issues in the future will be decided in favor of the more liberal view. But it's not that simple. The president's nominee, the man or the woman that he puts forward to become or to replace Justice Scalia, is going to have to be approved by the Senate. I think I think they need at least 60 votes in favor before that person can be sworn in as Justice Scalia's replacement. The Senate, as you know, is controlled by Republicans. And the consensus right now from Republicans and Republican senators is that they will not confirm any nominee put forward by President Obama. And there seems to be just almost a unanimous agreement on this issue. I watched a few clips from the Republican debate in South Carolina on Saturday night, and this was pretty much the only issue that the six Republican candidates could agree on, that the Senate should refuse to vote on who will replace, or President Obama's replacement for, Justice Scalia. So what happens if President Obama puts a nomination forward and the Republican Senate says, well, we're not going to vote on it until next year when we have a new president? Well, the court will continue to operate with 8 justices. And that means that over the next few months, as we finish off this term of the Supreme Court and move into the next term of the Supreme Court in September, what that means is that there'll be more tied decisions and that there'll be more gridlock. And more than likely, that'll mean lots more frustration in the American public and some people are saying that there'll be a lot of frustration and anger toward the Republicans because it makes them look selfish by not voting on President Barack Obama's nominee. So we'll just have to wait and see how this plays out, but I think it's safe to say, even at this early point, that the process is not going to go smoothly. It's not going to happen. There's not going to be a whole lot of graciousness. There's not going to be a whole lot of unity. All we're going to see is this issue turn into another issue that divides America's leaders, another issue that divides America's politics, and another issue that really just serves to impair America's government. Okay, I thought we could just play now. We were going to play this earlier, but we had some technical difficulties. I'm going to play now a little clip from Justice Scalia. And as I mentioned earlier, in this clip, Scalia defends the Constitution as a document that needs to be interpreted as it was written by its original authors, and he opposes the notion or the belief that America's Constitution is a living or an evolving document.
Antonin Scalia, quote, "The Constitution that I interpret and apply is not living, but dead," close quote. Explain that one.
Much of the harm that has been done in recent years by activist constitutional interpretation is made possible by a theory which says that unlike an ordinary law, which doesn't change, it means what it meant when it was enacted and will always mean that. Unlike that, the Constitution changes from decade to decade to comport with, and this is a phrase we use in our Eighth Amendment jurisprudence, we, the court does, to comport with, quote, "the evolving standards of decency that mark the progress of a maturing society." In other words, we have a morphing constitution. And of course, it's up to the court to decide when it morphs and how it morphs. That's generally paraded as the, quote, "living constitution." And unfortunately, that philosophy has made enormous headway, not only with lawyers and judges, but even with the John Q. public.
When I heard about the death of Justice Scalia, this conservative, this bastion, this conservative justice, I dug out my copy of America Under Attack. If you haven't heard of it, America Under Attack is a booklet written by Mr. Gerald Flurry, the editor-in-chief of the Trumpet magazine. He wrote this book in 2013, and you can request the book, and we'll send it to you free, but you can request the book at thetrumpet.com. If you haven't got a copy of this book, just visit thetrumpet.com, and we'll send you a copy right away. But this booklet, in this booklet, Mr. Flurry explores the downward spiral of the United States of America. And he really exposes the actions of the radical liberal movement that is aggressively working in America today. I just wanted to turn to a scripture or read a scripture. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. Because in America Under Attack, Mr. Flurry really just goes on to explain in detail and really convincingly. He just shows that there's an unseen power. There's a spiritual power behind the lawless movement in the United States of America. He goes on to, and he explains that Satan the devil and his army of demons is really the motivating force behind this lawless movement in the United States. Here in Revelation 12, verses 7 and 9, it says, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon," that's talking about Satan the devil, "the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." You should read that scripture for yourself. The great dragon, or Satan the devil, was cast out. And notice there, it says that this Satan the devil, he deceives the whole world. I suppose for quite a few people in this world, this question of is there even a devil remains unanswered. But the Bible makes it very clear that there is a devil, and he has a demon army, and he has an influence on this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, over here, Paul says that in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, if you want to read more about this subject, then I'd really encourage you to request Mystery of the Ages. Mystery of the Ages, written by Mr. Herbert Armstrong. And you can go ahead and request that book at thetrumpet.com. But the second chapter of Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong goes in and just proves comprehensively that there is a devil. There is a spirit world, And they do influence and have an influence on human affairs. But notice again, Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. And this scripture is really at the heart of America under attack. But it says very clearly that Satan the devil has been cast down, and his demon army has been cast down to this earth, and they're influencing events on this earth. Now, when was Satan the devil cast down? Again, you can read all of this in America Under Attack. When was the devil cast down? He was cast down to this earth in January 1986. And from January 1986, Satan the devil and his demon army have been working overtime, influencing the affairs of mankind. And in particular, they've been working overtime trying to destroy and undermine, first of all, God's true church, but also the nations of Israel, America and Britain, and even the Jewish state today. Mr. Flurry explores all of this in detail in this little book. Now, it's interesting that Satan the devil was cast down the same year that Antonin Scalia was appointed to the Supreme Court. Scalia was appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court in September 1986. It's just an interesting date. But in America Under Attack, Mr. Flurry documents the rise of lawlessness in America, and especially since the advent of the Obama administration. And he shows how since January 1986, this movement to destroy the U.S. Constitution has been growing stronger and stronger, and how there's a growing hatred for the rule of law. There's a growing hatred for America's Constitution. And again, that hatred has been mounting since 1986, when Satan the devil was cast down. I'll just read a few quotes from America Under Attack. And I think this is a good book to read in light of Justice Scalia's death and the Supreme Court. This institution that really was created originally to uphold the rule of law. It's a good little booklet to read right now. But this is what Mr. Flurry writes on page 10. This is what changed in 1986. The devil was cast down to earth, and he began his lawless rampage. I saw with my own eyes the damage he wreaked in God's church. Now it is becoming ever clearer that he is unleashing the same kind of destruction on our nations, and particularly America. Mr. Flurry writes, many people are deeply concerned about the direction of America today. Many can see that the nation is on the wrong course and is rapidly losing its moral character and its strength. However, the situation is more severe than people realize. Something very grave is going on in this land that most people do not truly understand. The fact described in Revelation 12:12, prophesied to occur just a short time before the second coming of Jesus Christ, is one of the defining spiritual truths of our world today. What is it? What's that truth? That Satan the devil and his demons are cast down and confined to this earth. This is a subject that requires some study and meditation. And then Mr. Flurry, in America Under Attack, he discusses Robert Bork and how this judge in 1986, President Reagan nominated Robert Bork to become a judge on the U.S. Supreme Court. He was rejected. And Robert Bork was ideologically, and he believed the same as Justice Scalia, or we could say that Justice Scalia believed the same as Robert Bork. He was a constitutionalist. He was pro-rule of law. But here's what Mr. Flurry says. He said, what happened to Robert Bork marked the beginning of a vicious attack on the law of the land. In the two decades since, we have seen a rapid breakdown of law and an increasing amount of poison spreading through America's political system. Now, I think the death of Antonin Scalia marks a significant moment in Satan the devil's lawless rampage in America. The death of Scalia really is a significant moment in this lawless rampage in America. Scalia was a pivotal. He's been pivotal in the past 30 years to holding back or at least slowing down the rising tide of lawlessness that has crept into the United States. Here's a quote from that CNN article from yesterday. Antonin Scalia served on the court for almost 30 years and was a consistent conservative vote and a powerful conservative voice. He staunchly opposed abortion rights and affirmative action, limits on campaign spending, gay rights, and separation of church and state. So this judge was a bulwark. Him and John Roberts and one or two others, they've been a bulwark against the rising tide of lawlessness. They've been defending America and defending the Constitution against the lawlessness rampage that has been unfolding in the United States of America. So the death of Justice Scalia really, really does mark a significant victory or a milestone for the rage of lawlessness in the United States. And again, it's just interesting that this Supreme Court judge entered the court in September 1986. And ever since, he's been a ferocious defender of the rule of law. Scalia is what they call an originalist. An originalist, a constitutional originalist. He believes that those who make and those who interpret and enforce the law ought to be guided by the meaning of the Constitution as it was originally written. He believes the Constitution ought to be interpreted as its authors understood it. And he really was, or he really did, oppose this idea of a living Constitution. He was an important opponent of the belief that America's Constitution is a morphing document. Just before we conclude, I'd like to play one last clip. In this clip, we hear America's president giving or saying a few words. He gave this press conference on Saturday evening, and he was talking about Justice Scalia.
For almost 30 years, Justice Antonin Nino Scalia was a larger-than-life president on the bench. A brilliant legal mind with an energetic style, an incisive wit, and colorful opinions. He influenced a generation of judges, lawyers, and students, and profoundly shaped the legal landscape. He will no doubt be remembered as one of the most consequential judges and thinkers to serve on the Supreme Court. Justice Scalia dedicated his life to the cornerstone of our democracy, the rule of law.
That's really some nice words there from America's president, and I think we would agree with a lot of what Barack Obama just said. But it's just interesting to hear the president of the United States really endorse and heap platitudes on a judge who upheld the rule of law. It's interesting to hear the President of the United States do that, because over the past 7 years, we've just seen many instances where the White House has really trampled on the rule of law and usurped the rule of law and gotten away from the rule of law. Before I conclude, or as I conclude here, I'd like to just conclude with one or two quotes from America Under Attack. Again, if you haven't got this little booklet from Mr. Gerald Flurry, go ahead and visit thetrumpet.com and request America Under Attack. You need this booklet if you want to really understand what's happening in America. If you want to really understand America's demise and why this country that was the most powerful in the history of human civilization, the single most powerful country in the history of human civilization, how can it be falling so precipitously, so quickly, so drastically? How is that happening? Well, all of that is explained in America Under Attack. And in this book, Mr. Flurry just talks a lot about the rise of lawlessness that we're seeing unfold in America. But just a couple of quotes to conclude here from America Under Attack. Mr. Flurry says, "What is happening to America's leadership? Its domestic policy and foreign policy is not just a quirk of history. The fact that Americans are casting the Constitution to the ground and encouraging lawlessness in their marriages, in their government, and in their policy toward other nations has a very definite cause. The worst of it traces back to Satan having been cast down." Americans are casting the Constitution to the ground. There is a lawless movement on a rampage in the United States, and that lawless movement will be able to accomplish even more and be even more successful after the death of Justice Scalia. This is something to watch, and the next few weeks and months will be really interesting as we watch President Obama seek to nominate a replacement for Justice Scalia in the U.S. Supreme Court. And then as we watch the Republicans refuse to vote, and as we watch to see who will become the next president of the United States. It was good to be with you, and I will see you later this week, I believe.